Hi, this is Charisse Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. This week, it's a bit of an indulgent episode. I'm going to talk you through some of my favorite, really can't live without books. The books that I would be really upset if I lost them. I had a really hard time narrowing it down, and I decided to just do three because if you know me, you know that I can talk quite a lot. And I thought three was like a nice, easy way into finding out if you like this kind of episode, actually. So what I'm going to do with each of these books is give you a little insight into the author or creator, tell you what you can expect from the contents, and just kind of give you my little mini reviews as to why I love these books. My first book is Face Forward by makeup artist Kevin O'Quan. I definitely need to do a full episode on the life and impact of Kevin, but today I'm just going to keep it simple and just focus on this one book. This book is the follow-up to his first book, which was called Making Faces and came out in 1997 and went on to become a New York Times bestseller. And while this one is a very practical makeup technique book, it's also a beautiful time capsule of Kevin's work and the imagery that he created, as well as tons of behind-the-scenes Polaroid moments, which I really do love. I feel this is a book he had fun with because he really shows his ability to erase someone's features and then completely transform them into someone else. Of course, his models aren't your everyday faces. The very first large image that we see is one of R&B singer Janet Jackson in a very masculine look. She's wearing a shirt and tie. Her face is very monochrome. It's a black and white shot, but it's been given a sepia effect. So it's kind of like almost brown and white. But you can see the makeup is very much about sculpting her face. There's some eyeliner. There's lipstick, but it's very much kind of like a flatter, more masculine take on her face. She's wearing a shirt and tie. She's chewing a cocktail stick. And Kevin has just carved out this beautiful face and given her the most perfect skinny eyebrows. As you go through the book, you will see images of Julianne Moore, Diana Ross, Isabella Rossellini, Madonna, model Karen Elson. Even Kevin's mum is in there, but I think if I had to choose a favorite image today, it might change tomorrow, but today I would say it would be this image of R&B singer Monica, because Kevin transforms her into a very feline character that's inspired by the book The Island of Dr. Moreau by H.G. Wells. I've never read the book, but I think a long time ago there was a TV program about it. And it's like this sci-fi story that looks at themes of cloning and how science and technology could transform the human race. I think the doctor in question does a lot of experiments on animals. So it's this kind of discussion that I really enjoy in this book. It's not just a makeup tutorial book, because while Kevin breaks down each look, so for instance, with the Monica one, on the page opposite to her photograph, we've got really in-depth tips as to how to recreate the eye shape, how to have a feline eye shape, how to use eyebrows to transform the face. But Kevin also talks about the constant advancement towards cloning ourselves and putting off the aging process. So I think if we just take into account the fact that he was talking about this in 2000, so 24 years ago, it really tells us where Kevin's thinking was at. And I can only imagine how Kevin would be inspiring us today, because unfortunately, he passed away at the age of 40 in 2002, which was just 2 years after Face Forward came out. He is a huge loss. If you're remotely into makeup and you're on any social media accounts, you will know the impact of Kevin O'Quan. Just the way he approached faces, and of course, his makeup brand has some brilliant quality products. His impact has never gone away, and I really hope it stays that way. If you want to check out this book, you can find it online for as little as £5. So that's Face Forward. Also, don't forget to look out for his other book, Making Faces. My second book is a photography book showcasing the work of New Yorker Slim Ahrens. If you don't know much about me yet, I'm actually a photographer. I'm a beauty writer and photographer. I studied photography and fine art at university before I became a journalist. And it's one of my first loves. So I do have a lot of photography books. And this one by Slim Aarons is simply called Women. It's one of my favorites because the imagery is just very iconic. To sum up the book briefly, I'm just going to read you some of what is written on the inner sleeve of the book. It says, Slim Aarons Women explores the central subject of Slim Aarons' career, the extraordinary women who inhabited the upper echelons of society, the arts, fashion, and Hollywood from the late 1940s through the 1980s, showcasing beautiful women at their most glamorous in some of the most dazzling locations across the globe. The book is a fresh look at the acclaimed photographer through the muses who inspired his most enduring photographs. It's that word enduring that really sums up Slim Aarons' work for me. Of course, as you can probably guess from a book that features photography from the 40s to the 80s, it's not much of a diverse read. But that apart, you can absolutely see the inspiration of Slim Aarons' work in pretty much any advertising campaign, any TV show, any fashion editorial, because it's so significant of a specific era and type of lifestyle and even the type of woman. As Slim himself puts it later in the book, he concentrated on photographing attractive people doing attractive things in attractive places in an effort to shake off the miseries of World War II. For me, this is a beautiful book from the cover onwards. The cover itself shows two women sitting by a large swimming pool that is situated in the back garden of the Kaufman Desert House in Palm Springs, which just so happens to be designed by one of the most iconic architects ever, Richard Neutra. The women have pristine blonde blowouts and are dressed in complementary shades of white and yellow. One of them is holding a martini glass. There's a table in between them that has a pair of shades and a few books on it next to another martini glass. Across from these two, there's another woman smiling at them as she walks by the pool in her heels carrying, yes, you guessed it, a martini glass. From then on, the book shows over 250 images of various settings. We're talking villas in Marbella, Spain, pony clubs, skiing in Gstaad, families holidaying in Kenya or in the south of France, parties at the Playboy Mansion, and drinks at famous speakeasies like the 21 Club. It's these moments that have absolutely inspired much of what we can look forward to seeing in the second season of Ryan Murphy's feud, which is called Capote versus the Swans. It's already aired in the States, and I am still trying to get a UK air date and even find out who will be showing it in the UK. I know the Disney Channel here is showing the first series of Feud, which was about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford. I'm trying to get a UK contact for the FX network so that I can really do an entire episode on Capote versus the Swans. So I will keep you posted. If you don't know already, Ryan Murphy is the creator behind many huge TV shows, such as one of my favorites, American Horror Story, which is now in its 12th season, and the award-winning Assassination of Gianni Versace, which was so good, I need to watch it again. Ryan has really got a thing for detail and showing us the true environment that many of his characters would have lived in. And apparently, he's said to have been obsessed with the Swans. And in a recent interview, the stylist behind the show, Lou Eirich, shared that she referenced a lot of Slim Aarons' back catalogue to really perfect the look of the Swans, because Slim actually photographed many of the Swans, including Babe Paley and CZ Guest. By the way, that interview with the costume designer Lou was from a recent episode of the Run Through with Vogue podcast, which is hosted by new Vogue editor Choma Nardi and Chloe Mal. And they also chat to my absolute favourite, Chloe Sevigny, who plays one of the Swans' CZ Guest in the new show. I will leave a link to that podcast in the show notes for you, because if you're remotely interested in Capote or the Swans, you will love listening. As someone who has read much of Truman Capote's work and definitely has an obsession with fashion from the 40s onwards, I cannot wait to finally watch Capote versus the Swans. I know it's going to be visually epic, and if they stick to the story, it's going to be very dramatic. If you're not familiar with the story, Truman Capote befriends all of these society women or Park Avenue princesses. He calls them his beautiful swans. They're always going out for lunch. And of course, they're telling him all of their secrets. He becomes this trusted ear for these women to share their woes and their worries about life as privileged women, married to men in high places. He hears all of the gossip. However, he would eventually expose many of these private stories in an essay for the November 1975 edition of Esquire magazine. The essay was called La Cote Basque and was meant to serve as a taster of what was to come in a forthcoming book, Answered Prayers. However, the book was never finished and was only published after Truman's death. That essay marked the beginning of the end of his friendship with the Swans. And they definitely, although they weren't in positions of power like their husbands that, you know, were running TV networks, they were definitely seen as powerful in their own way when it came to the kind of pecking order of society. And suffice to say, it does not end well. You can find Slim Aaron's women for anything from £40 to £65 online. My third and final book is a pretty kind of cheeky edition. I can't lie. It's not actually a book. It's a very special mini magazine that came with the July 2009 issue of Vogue Italia. And it was created to celebrate two very significant cultural moments. First, it was celebrating the fact that a year before, in July 2008, Vogue Italia celebrated the Black issue. It was a magazine dedicated to Black culture, Black beauty, and it sold out within 72 hours in the United States. Secondly, 2009 was the year of the 50th anniversary of Barbie, and this tiny book brought these two moments together in the form of an all-Black Barbie issue. Just to briefly touch on that 2008 Black issue, by the way, I just have to say that at the time, this magazine gave Black women so much. It was packed with inspirational fashion that was shown on beautiful Black models. And it also gave hope for a more diverse future. Probably too much hope, because I think many of us thought that we'd actually reached that tipping point of diversity and that somehow the Black issue of Vogue Italia was going to tip us over. Diversity was going to overflow and become the norm. However, the fact that this one magazine came out 16 years ago, and I'm still talking about it here, tells you that nothing much has come close since, really. Apart from the fact that, yes, you will see a Black face in fashion advertising, perhaps alongside a redhead, perhaps alongside an Asian model. I mean, to be honest, even the latest magazines that I've picked up, I am seeing less diversity again. But apart from that, and perhaps the British Vogue African model cover from February 2022, which faced criticism for making some of the models' skin tones darker, I don't believe we have really gone full force with diversity. I mean, if we had, I wouldn't be talking about it. But anyway, the Vogue Italia Black issue featured four different covers. I bought two, one that had Naomi Campbell on the cover and one with Leah Cabedi. I lost the Naomi one after I moved house, so my Leah Cabedi one is hidden away somewhere, but I've always kept the mini book close to hand. I love that Vogue Italia chose to focus on the Black Barbie as a forever icon, because it's a reminder to the rest of the world that Barbie was part of the household for many little Black girls around the world. She wasn't just for little white girls. And I think it's easy to forget that, especially when you consider all of the recent Barbie movie promo. They've done an amazing job. Let me not even deny that. Barbie just became a year-long moment of marketing for me, a huge pink press event that was very white-centered. I'm sure when I eventually watch the film, maybe I'll change my mind. And yes, I am aware that there are some multicultural Barbies in it. But when you look at it from the outside, Barbie just seemed like a year-long marketing scheme that was very much there to promote a white-centered vision of beauty that was dressed in lots of pink. But back to this little Black Barbie book. The cover shows a Black Barbie in a black and white striped bandeau swimming costume, and she's been placed into a V-shape. For the word Vogue at the top of the front cover, there are several black Barbie dolls used to make each letter, and it's just really cute. It's so cute, this cover. As you go through the mini book, you'll see all black Barbies posing in the studio under the lights. We see them traveling abroad in the most chic outfits. We see them in couture. We even see a little fetish fashion story. This book is so precious to me, and it's really a tiny piece of history that I will have forever. I don't have any kids, so I don't know who I'm going to give it to. But today, I just found out it's currently selling for around £150 to £175 on eBay. So it's definitely become a tiny little piece of history that's very collectible. If you're interested, you can also buy copies of the black issue of Vogue Italia from July 2008 on eBay, and they range from £70 to £300. So that's it for my book roundup. I could easily do more. So if you would like more, let me know. I don't know how many magazines I've got. My magazine collection alone goes back to, I think my oldest one is from 1950 something. So if you would like more of this kind of vintage publication kind of episode, let me know over in the DMs on Instagram at Beauty Me Podcast. I've also made a video for each of these books. So if you want to see them in the flesh, be sure to head to my Instagram, or you can find me on TikTok or YouTube at Charisse Kenyon. Thank you so much for listening, as always. If you enjoyed this episode, do please give it a review or rating wherever you're listening. It really helps others to find it. And be sure to follow and subscribe to the show so you never miss another episode. Don't forget, there's also a free newsletter over at beautymenotes.substack.com. I'll see you next time.